Welcome to the BS Show. Are you ready to shoot the... The BS Show would like to thank their sponsors. Jack Cameron, accredited mortgage professional. Jack can show you the way home. Graco Impact Sports, providing top quality combat sport equipment, tested and used by all levels of athletes. Dominate your world. Reposales.ca, specializing in vehicle and equipment recovery, liquidation, and sales. Hemmings House Pictures, the global movement media makers, helping tell your brand story to the world and accelerate the momentum of your movement. Farm Box Films, capturing stories the way you want to remember them.
Greetings, fellow humans. Welcome to the BS Show, Atlantic Canada's one and only podcast dedicated to combat sports and mixed martial arts in the region. I am your host, Boyd Sharp, and in the wings I have the chirp of crickets, silence, as Mr. Rick Doyle completely forgot that we had a show tonight and is as of yet unreachable. How you doing, Skippy?
I'm doing wonderful. You know, he's in the Rocky mode, maybe. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. He's probably, like, sprinting up some hills, carrying some logs, doing some ankle hang sit-ups or something. I'm sure he's doing something very productive and healthy at the moment.
Well, I tell you what, I wish him the best of luck. I hope he's grinding out and training. I can't wait to hear how everything goes here shortly. I guess tonight's kind of like an all ECC night, huh?
It is. We got three fighters on from the upcoming ECC 21 card on July 26th. And I think we're going to stack it up next week and maybe try to get four guys on. But tonight we have JP Shortall. Fascinating story. A guy is 41 years old, amateur MMA fighter. Obviously a guy who's doing it for the love of the sport and not for anything else. And he was brought to us by Mr. Danny Patterson that we had on the show, the sports and wellness guy from Full Potential. And he said we really needed to talk to JP because he was a super interesting cat. And the research that I've done, he's definitely going to be a good guest. We have on a longtime friend of the show, Mr. Chris Kalides. You've heard us talk very highly of him before. Had an awesome fight just a few months ago against Malcolm Gordon in Ontario. And now, super exciting, he's going to be fighting Adrian Woolley right here in Halifax on July 26th. So we're super stoked for that. But before we get into any of that and before we get Rick on the line, you told me that a guest that we had on a short while ago, Mr. Ray McKinnon from Bushidokai, that we introduced you to, fed you guys a little story that's getting some legs.
Yeah, definitely. I want to thank you and Rick for introducing him. You know, we mentioned it on the air. We'd love him to write for us. Well, he stepped up in his first, I guess, article piece, whatever you want to call it, is an article by the name of Why I Don't Train BJJ. And I'll be honest, we put it up. We didn't, you know, expect anything other than, you know, some of our hardcore fans to read it and share it. I've seen it everywhere on regular, like, you know, sports.net and not just MMA news sites, but regular sports sites. It's picked it up. It's gone everywhere. I mean, it's insane. I've seen guys in the Philippines, Norway, Germany, Brazil, Canada, America, all sharing it. It's insane. A lot of people
awesome.
Really, really dug it. So I want to thank you guys, and I'm looking for more because he said he wants to write about all kinds of different things.
That's awesome, man. And what'd you say it's called? Why I Don't Train BJJ?
Yes.
Sweet.
And I'll tell you what, there is a line in it where he says he's probably the only man on earth to ever give back his blue belt to Helio Gracie. It's insane. I just leave it at that. You got to read up. You got to read about it. It's insane.
Cool. I will check that out for sure. Yeah. I mean, he's a knowledgeable guy and a bit of a polarizing guy for absolute sure. I mean, he made a fantastic guest and we're interested in having him back on to break down some of the stuff, but yeah, I'll have to check that out for absolute sure. Rick's been, throwing pebbles at my window on Facebook here. He's completely losing his mind. He's like the 16-year-old boy outside the cheerleader's window wanting us to let him in. So anytime you want to get him in here, you can before he implodes at the office.
Oh, he's live. He's live. He's been
live.
Oh,
he's live?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here. I'm just listening to you babble, nerd. Don't you say
that's
I was
the longest
over
you have ever kept your tongue in your mouth in your entire life, I'm pretty damn
because
sure.
I just like listening to you make a fool of yourself, that's all. You were the one in the big panic that I wasn't going to make it here on time. But I tell you, brother, I put the Trans Am down and got
oh,
here.
I bet she was sounding pretty sweet coming out the highway.
She's not all show, man. She's built to go. And, you know, the worst of it was, I was at Calculator's place because he's got a pre-Canada Day party going on.
Oh, nice.
And I had to leave that to come to here because the only
thing
I like
to hang out with Skippy and me. You get to hang out with Skippy and me. It was worth the drive.
Listen, man, the only thing I love more than harassing you on this show is watching Calculator fail miserably with the women. So to me, I mean, okay, he's there, our buddy Wade's there, there's a few beautiful ladies there, and just to sit and watch him strike out makes my day every time.
So Wade's wife doesn't listen to the show, does she?
Dude, it's like driving by a car accident, right? I don't really want to look, but I can't help it. And I said, Calculator, why don't you come on the show tonight, man? We'll do it live right from the party. He goes, man, I had six beer. I can't. I said, yeah, but you're more interesting when you've had six beer. Otherwise, he's like watching paint dry. You know what I'm saying? But
we got to get that dude beer, on here so he can stand up for himself.
It's all the truth anyway. It doesn't matter. At about eight beer, he starts to dance, and it's the most horrific thing you've ever seen, Boyd. Do you remember Seinfeld with Elaine when she used to dance? That's what he dances like, brother. It's
okay,
horrible.
Let's rate the ship here. I just teased it out. We do have a great show tonight, and Skippy was just saying that Ray McKinnon wrote a great article for them about why he doesn't train BJJ. I have not had an opportunity to check that out yet, but I absolutely will. But something I don't know if you've heard yet, Rick. Our man, Mr. Tyson Cave, Prince of Halley, is getting his world title shot in September.
That's awesome, man. You know, the guy deserves it, and let's just sit back and see what happens here. I mean, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long road. He's not a spring chicken, but, I mean, he's paid his dues, and in September in Halifax, he's going to be fighting for the IBA title. I had the guy's name here a minute ago, but I've closed that window on my screen, unfortunately. But yeah, kudos to Tyson and good luck to him, and we'll be rooting him on. And I mean, he said when he was on the show, one of the things that he was hoping to do, despite the people that he pisses off with his antics, he does want to see boxing grow and thrive in the area, and this just might be the kind of thing that that could do that.
Yeah, he's got the support here, no question.
Cool.
So what do
we
got
new with you, my man?
Anyway. What?
First up, we're going to have J.P. Shortall, one of the guys who trains at a Bushido Kai, so he'd obviously know Ray McKinnon pretty well. But he was the guy that that Danny Patterson was just jumping up and down, telling us we had to talk to, a guy in his early 40s who's fighting amateur, of all things, so not a guy who's in it for the coin, a guy who's in it because he just loves the sport. And he just said that J.P. was a super interesting guy, with a fascinating story, somebody that Danny's worked with through his health and wellness company. And I believe we have him on the line right now. JP, welcome to the BS show.
How you doing there, guys? How are you doing, Rick?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, brother.
Good, good.
Rick,
you
actually had a chance to swing by the gym when JP was in there one day, right?
I sure did, and actually Calculator and I were there that day, and it was great to have that talk with you that day, JP, and I'm really looking forward to having this discussion with you tonight.
Oh, truly, that was my honor, too, to meet you guys.
So let's get it rolling here. JP, you're 41 years old. I've been seeing some guys popping up on Facebook over the last 2-3 days announcing their retirements. And they're all like 28, 29, maybe 32. And I'm going, these guys are retiring? What the hell? We got a guy coming on the show tonight who's, what, 40 years old and just getting started.
Yes, I definitely love the sport. I love martial arts itself. When I first got into this and where at the point in my life I had such a crossover going, I needed a change, tired of that vicious circle, and I ran into a guy that pretty much started it all for me, and his name was John Manuel. We ran in when I was down and out and talking about how life and what I need for a change, and he said, you know what, you need to come where I train at. And
Let's back this up. Let's slow this down for a second here, because you're throwing out terms like a crossroads and having to pull yourself up. And give us a little bit of idea of what you're talking about here, like sort of what was going on with your life, and did you have any martial arts exposure before this point in your life, or sort of tell us a little bit about what you were like as a young guy.
I was in athletics. I played hockey, played competitively, kept active all my life, stayed in the weights, got into balancing in my late 20s, different lifestyle change at that time, and following my big brother around, Jerry Shortall, and who was in the bar for over a handful of years, around 7 years around that time. So, of course, being about 2 years different, being one of my idols, I would follow him into the bouncing game. And as we all could tell, if we all been down that road before, every bouncer knows, you know, that turns into a bit of experience and a roller coaster ride as you stay in that part, right?
I know Rick's got some experience bouncing over the years, so he could probably speak to that a lot better than I could.
Oh, yes. You know, you have your ups, your downs, your funny moments. You bond with a bunch of guys that you train with, that you work with. You get that trust. It's definitely was a great area of a great time in my life when I was doing it with certain people, because I can honestly say probably easily 80-90% of the people that I worked with, I did trust, and I enjoyed being with it, and I still remain friends with a lot of the guys today, too. It's definitely been a great trip, especially I can speak for that from my age now. You know, you can reflect back and still doing it up to a point now, was still doing it. You know, you can definitely appreciate that word trust.
So what was it that made for the transition in your life? What made you hit a point where you felt like you wanted something different?
We sometimes get in this point where you're always willing to make that change. And, you start it, and you're going at it, and then something slaps you back, and you just, I give up, or you blame something else. You don't take ownership at that time, and, you just keep doing, and then you keep starting over again. But I was getting to the point where it's we've come in such a vicious circle. And the last time it happened to me, where it was pretty much aggression and an act of anger on myself, where, I put my foot through a wall, I end up coming down, and bam, I was split open for 18 stitches, my Achilles heel was showing, and, you're sitting there getting sewed up and everything, you just really got to start reflecting, this is the life you want to lead, example you want to be for your children, you really got to start thinking hard at that moment. So I'm getting sewed up to, doing the token spiel, I got to change my life, and, that started to sink in more and more at that moment. I think it was probably one of my truly defining moments I had as a father and as somebody who wants to change was going through.
So what was the positive force that then came into your life to help you make that change?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, John Manuel, this guy I knew from 10 years prior. I ran him just before Christmas of 2000 and late 2010. And we haven't talked together in a long time, and I was telling him about the crossroads, and I just got the stitches under my feet, on my foot, and pretty much 80% of limping on one leg and 20% of weight on another, and I was telling him what I was going through, and he said, man, you need martial arts. You need to come down and give this a try. Come down to Clinch Martial Arts. There's a big, great bunch of guys down there. You got to come meet them. And, I thought about that, and about a week or two later, I called him back. I said, man, I would definitely love to give this a try. And he said, sure, come on down. I believe it was first night was jiu-jitsu night, and I started, first time I came down, I rolled with him. I thought this was great. Of course, me being that ex-doorman and, the gym guy, I'm thinking strength, 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 and wondering why these guys, 170, 180 pounders, are just choking me out with ease, because obviously they had something special going on, as we all could contest, right? And, I came back the next night, we were doing stand-up, and I just remember looking at John, saying, man, I love to do this. And he said, great, man, just keep coming here. And he introduced me to Kevin Thibodeau, which is one of the guys I truly, you know, have a love and respect for. He helped me personally and professionally in my life, too, as well, with the martial arts. He's taught me a lot about martial arts, took me in under his wing, gave me a place to train, helped me out with membership, as well as John did, you know. He just gave me so much. He introduced me to guys like Crew Tony Dolan from Spitfire. I met Shane Rice. You guys had him on a show previously, also. We all know who Shane Rice is. I met Scott McLean, you know, people with Peter Martel. The list goes on for the people that he opened the door for me to meet. I mean, and one of the most shocking as in a great moment was I got to meet somebody that Crew Tony Dolan worked with was Grandmaster Skin. So I'm sitting here, we're meeting a grandmaster of Muay Thai. And I'm like, wow. And that's when Kevin came up to me one day after paying for me to go up to Moncton to be in the seminar. He goes, I want you to be here to see what this is like and what people are, you know, what the martial arts and how these people are that are achieved. And slowly but surely, that just started my wheels turning more and more to start making me into the person that I am today. You know, you're pretty much limping home. As you guys know, Boyd and Rick, there's times when you got yeah. done training, you limp home, and you crawl into your bed, and you're like, oh, crap, why am I doing this? But then you're up the next night, and you're going at it again. And same thing can happen over and over again. But after a while, those limp homes turn into limp, like just pretty much that great walk out of the place where you're like, man, I felt great tonight. I didn't care about failure because I didn't quit. And so failure only makes you learn. So you just go back out, learn again. Go back out.
Well, I tell you what, man, Rick and I have talked about this with a lot of guys that we've had on the show, and martial arts and mixed martial arts is definitely something that has changed an enormous amount of people's lives for the better. But there's a big difference between walking into a gym and doing some jiu-jitsu or learning some Muay Thai and actually deciding to compete in mixed martial arts in a cage. I mean, that's not going to be for every dude. What was it that made you want to fight? Because if I'm not mistaken, you've fought amateur MMA before, correct?
Yes, I have. I have fought twice before. And when, you know, I first was getting into this, you know, I approached Kevin about this, about wanting to fight. And when I was at Clinch there with a great bunch of guys, and he, you know, it's like, get some more groundwork. And, you know, your stand-up's coming along, you know, keep progressing, keep learning, let's take this step by step. And one thing he always strived on that, you know, Ray McKinnon always says himself too as well, is be a martial artist first. Learn. Understand, right? And because of that, and then when you know you want to fight, your coach takes it up another level on you. So it's not like, oh, okay, you know, take a minute. No, keep going. Don't give up. Keep, you know, they'll push you. They're going to try to break you. And, you know,
we're familiar with that concept, right?
Yeah. And I have no shame in saying this now. I probably wouldn't have made excuses before I even got into this stuff, but, you know, there has been nights when you leave broken, you know, you just broken down and emotional, but then you know you're going to get that back and come back the next night and try to be stronger than you were the night before, right? And because they do that, that's what makes you strong enough to go do this stuff in the cage. So it's not, oh, I'm going to go hit pads and take a little breather, drink a little water, light stretch, and get back into it. It's, you know, you're there. If you're there for 2 hours, you're there for 2 hours of hard work. You're sweating about 6 pounds of sweat, and you're changing your clothes a couple times. And
yeah,
it's that kind of resiliency.
Right? It's that kind of resiliency, and it's that ability to pull yourself up when you feel like you've hit rock bottom, is the thing that people take most away from that experience, I believe. Yeah, Rick, do you want to jump in before I ask JP another question?
Yeah, I'd love to. JP, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. And
Dick, it was an honor meeting you guys, too.
You know, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you, man, and I get what you're saying. I mean, it's a story of my life, too. And, you know, it got documented on Cubicle to the Cage that I was going through that transition, too, you know, through that series. And I remember one point, man, I was sitting in my vehicle, and I've got this saying that I always say that, you know, if you can look at yourself in the mirror and be happy with what you see looking back at you, you can't be pissed off at anything that's made you who you are. and I've always kind of run with that. And I remember one day, and it was just getting bad for me, and I remember looking in my rearview mirror in my van, and I was so disgusted with what I saw. I actually smashed my rearview mirror off and said, "This is it. Things have got to change." And for me, I've always been a party guy, and you know, I worked the bars and I did all that kind of stuff, and you know, the booze had taken over, and it was just life in a fishbowl. So I know exactly where you're coming from, man. And
oh yes, and you truly do understand what you go through, right? Sorry about that.
I'm just, you know, you're telling the same story, so I get what you're saying. And you know, you go and you work in the bars, and you know, you kind of get this you know, this tough guy image, and you almost start to believe it in yourself, and it's the same thing when you're in the gym lifting weights, and then you step into one of these martial art gyms, and it just strips all that bullshit off you. There's no time for that anymore. And I get what you're saying, and I don't mean to babble, but I know what you went through, and I know where you're going. And brother, man, I think what you're doing is awesome.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. It's definitely been an overwhelming experience, but it's been very humble, because I knew the second, as we all know, if you walked into any of these schools, if I walked into Rashida Kai with the great family that I have there, and Ray McKidd and Joel Sanders, my head coach, and that, if I walked in with an ego, they would knock it off me, you know, in a heartbeat. And there would be guys lined up taking tickets to knock it off me too as well. And so you can't walk in with that ego trip. You have to walk in with that respect and give it to everybody. And then when you give it, you definitely get it back. You get it back tenfold, because you're becoming a part of a team. And that's one thing I really love about that too. There's nobody trying to be an individual at the club. We're all trying to help to make each other better. And man, that's the great feeling, the best feeling in the world.
I think that is the greatest feeling of it. And, I mean, it took me a while to actually get that, because, you know, I just seemed like I, you know, I was always alone, and it was just me. And for some reason, I had this team that was rallying behind me for no particular reason that I could see, and wanting to support me and for me to succeed. And it took a while for me to understand that. And it's the greatest feeling in the world. So I get what you're saying.
Yes. I did see that on the show with you too. Sorry. Yeah, on the show with you, and awesome, man.
So let me ask you, because I was asked this by Boyd not long ago, actually. Why fight? Why? What's the reason? What's the motivation for your fight? It's one thing
right
to train, but why the fight?
Right at this point is to finally put an end to what's been talked to me by Kevin for, is I've talked to him about self-destruction. You know, trying to thrive for something, then all of a sudden destructing yourself so you don't fully achieve your goal, set up and do your goal or anything. And, I had a history of doing that, to be honest. And, you know, you get to that point, you're getting so close to achieving something, then you almost cower down, you back away, you make up excuses, you blame everybody else instead of taking that big word ownership. And this is a sport here, is truly a sport where you get ownership by actually going out and doing this. You know, the win is great, I won't lie, you know, that feeling feels great, but when you step in there, though, you're definitely in an elite club by itself. And that's why I always respect anybody that always got in there, amateur, not amateur, or a BJJ tournament, or Muay Thai, kickboxing, anything like that. When they got in to do a tournament or do a match, they're going into an elite club in the first place. So regardless of the outcome, you're already part of a great club, and I want to be a part of that club.
I get that totally, and to be honest with you, you know, I come from the same boat, and actually it's funny that Boyd had the same conversation with me a couple of weeks ago. Fighting isn't the issue. I will step in the cage and fight on any time. That doesn't bother me. That doesn't scare me. I've fought my whole life. I've had the shit beat out of me, and I've literally fought for my life. So being in there with a ref is the safest thing in the world. It is the excuses that I would come up with along the way not to do something. So following through on all of those steps of what it takes to get in the cage and then actually following through with it, that's the accomplishment, man. It's not the fight.
So
it's the fact that you actually step in there. I love it, man. And And I'll hand you over to Boyd. But from the bottom of my heart, JP, I'm proud of you, man, and I wish you nothing. Win, lose, or draw, you've already won. So the best of luck, my friend.
Thanks, Brad. I appreciate that. And it was an honor meeting you there a couple weeks ago, and I look forward to running into you guys again and having a good talk.
Cheers.
Thanks a lot, JP. I'm unfortunately not going to be able to make it to the fights on the 26th. I'm going to be in Newfoundland visiting family. But I'll be getting updates from Rick and the guys, and I wish you absolutely nothing but the best. And when the fight's over, maybe we'll get you back on and be able to break down a little bit about how the experience felt for you to do it this time, and see what you came away with as you learn on this journey. I do want to give you a couple of minutes to give some shout-outs and to thank your team and promote any sponsors that have been helping you out, because that's such an important part of the sport, especially when you're talking small-time regional promotions.
Oh, yes, yes. Thank you. First of all, I definitely like to take the time to let everybody know, my sponsors who have been helping me out for this too as well. I'd like to say thank you to Full Potential, Danny Patterson, as you guys had him on the show a couple weeks ago too as well. You know what this guy's about. This is no stick or anything. This is actually great for not just what you do in the cage, but what you do outside the cage. I mean, Danny Patterson, Full Potential Health, Wellness, Life Coaching and Counseling Services, definitely you're going to be hearing a lot from him from other future fighters. Home Life, Cecilia Mahoney, I'd like to thank her for a real estate agent. Mental Athletics, Ryan Staples for women's T-shirts, hoodies, and martial arts gear. CNA Automotive, Lower Deck Bar and Grill, Style MV Studios, Collision Sports, Ricky Goto for my diets. And also Sackville Chiropractic, Dr. Rodney Thompson. And just to end it all off, too, I also, just two quick things. I'd like to thank Peter Martell and Gavin Tucker and for everybody that support and helps set up those events. I mean, without these guys helping out local MMA, you know, we'd be doing nothing right now. And so I truly want to thank those guys for the hard work ethic they put in. Shout out to a good friend there, Ryan Staples. This kid that you guys might not hear much about this year, but Kyle Blinkhorn. This kid is tough, man, and he's put a great work ethic in. Hopefully you may hear from him in the future. You're definitely going to see him around the shows. And my trainer, Shida Kai family, Ray McKinnon, Gerald Sanders, my head coach too as well, my family at Shida Kai. And last but not least, my beautiful wife, Angela Shortall. You know, she helped me out with a six-month-old at home too as well, helped me out with my meals and everything. I'm truly blessed to have a lucky lady like that in my life, so... I just put that.
I feel you on that one, brother.
Thanks for your time. Yeah, yeah, definitely appreciate that home support, man. And you know, when you got that solid foundation, you could build off of that. And my wife helped me build that, so I just want to thank her.
Thanks, JP. I can't thank you enough for sharing a little bit of your story, man. And absolute good luck on July 26th. We'll be rooting for you.
Thanks, guys. I look forward to talking to you soon and listening to these kick-ass shows that you got going on.
And big hi to Danny when you see him for us.
Oh, I will. I'll be bugging him. I'll just let everybody know, too, as well. Danny's a little modest. He's also a blue belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, so he knows what he's talking about when he gets in. He knows what it's like to be in the grind and work hard at this and doing the MMA classes and all that. So he's got
he knows how to work.
But he's also a grinder, yeah.
he is a grinder. Thanks a lot, JP.
Right,
you have a wonderful evening,
have
man.
Have a good one, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Hey, buddy.
Cool. Rick, geez,
yeah,
you guys
sorry,
had a little
man.
Bit of a moment there.
Well, I babbled on there a little bit, but and I'm sorry about that. But you know what? I got nothing but respect for JP, and man, I know, like he ran a similar road to what I did, so I just kind of I connected on that. So
no, I appreciate you. I appreciate you with that honesty, Rick. I mean, you're a quick-witted guy, and you're a guy who likes to keep things light and most of the time, but. It was nice to see you connect with JP that way because, like you said, I mean, that guy's probably come through some shit that he's not really willing to share on a public forum like this, and it's great to see him dedicating himself to something and putting such a positive force in his life.
It is, man. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I know we were real tight on time to get everybody in there, but I just kind of connected to him, and I wish him nothing but luck. And, you know, I said on the show one time, I often say I wish I would have done this 20 years ago, but 20 years ago I wasn't ready, you know.
Yeah, right.
You know, at 43, I'm completely ready to accept everything and try to change, and I think he's...
Well, maybe not everything. Come on. A work in progress, a work in progress.
Yeah. Shut up, nerd. Okay, the next guest.
Well, to switch things from a guy who's toying in the amateurs in his third fight, we have another guy who we've had on the show before who's on a very different path. We have one Mr. Chris Kalides in the queue who's in a position to take the next step into what is perhaps the top 10 of Canadian 125ers. Chris, welcome back to the BS show, man.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
How's the sushi, the partying, and the beach?
It's great. living the dream, aren't I?
You are living the dream. You have time to buckle down, man. You got like a month out to your fight.
Yeah, no, I'm buckling down just the same. Everything's going really well, and yeah, I'm excited.
Well, I tell you, this is an opportunity that to fight Adrian Woolley that you and I have talked about in the past, and I chatted about it online with Adrian as well. And it's just a fight that made so much sense in Canada. Both of you guys have had some ups and downs recently. You're both universally acknowledged as two of the more talented guys. And in your last fight, which didn't go your way in Ontario, you took it on really short notice, and you looked, especially in certain points of the fight, absolutely fantastic, especially your Muay Thai. Tell us a little bit about your last fight before we start talking about the one coming up.
Yeah, it was super short notice. I appreciate the kind words. I found out about 8 days before it, so there wasn't a whole lot of preparation. It was just a matter of one of those fights where you're in the shape that you're in, and I try to stay in pretty good shape all the time so you can – you know, usually within 2 or 3 weeks, I'm ready to go for a fight. You can't, you know, train 100% all the time. But so it was kind of like a matter of just getting in there and letting your body take over. So I guess it's just, you know, kind of showed some of the things I'm working on. And I think every time I get in there now, I feel a little bit more relaxed and I'm able to do things that I didn't necessarily do before. So that's kind of why I'm really interested in this fight and seeing kind of how I'm going to show up and what I'm going to be able to, what I'm able to do, because I don't think that I've really shown what I can do in the cage. So the more experience, you know, I'm probably considered one of the, you know, the better guys in my weight class in Canada, but I mean, I'm only 6-1. I've only had 7 fights. So, I mean, I can't wait to have, you know, 10, 12, 15 fights to the point where I feel really comfortable and I'm able to do everything that I know I can do. So I'm excited for that.
Man, it's super exciting to hear you talk that way, because we were talking a few minutes ago with J.P. Shortall, who's on the amateur portion of the card coming up, and he's 41 and taking an amateur fight. And I said to him, I'm seeing all these guys who are announcing their retirements this week who are in their late 20s. And I'm just like, I guess they've kind of, they had their moment, or maybe they whatever it was that was drawing them into mixed martial arts, they got that out of themselves. But you are, what, 32, 33, and you seem like you're just getting cooking.
Yeah, I mean, it's a grind, but I mean, I started a little later than most, and the way I see it, you have a window of opportunity where, I mean, you can do it, and your body's going to let you do it, and you can kind of stay sharp. Where I started a little later, I think I can go a little later. I mean, these kids that are starting at, you know, 15 or early teens, those guys are probably going to be done by the time they're my age, because you know what I mean? Like, you get burned out from it. You really, you know, injuries are susceptible, and, you know, the sport is changing and evolving so much that I think eventually you're going to see it as a young man's game, you know, much like a lot of other professional sports. You know, you'll always have the exceptions. But I think, you know, as things change and fighters evolve at a younger age, you'll see the older guys probably not quite be able to keep up. But so far,
yeah.
You know, and Woolley too. I mean, he's a guy who's stayed around for a long time, and he's grinded, and, you know, you got to respect that. And the guy, he's not willing to quit till he gets to his goals, and that's kind of where I'm at as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why this fight right from the hop was so intriguing to me, because it's not like it's going to be a mismatch, right? It's not like it's going to be some kid who's coming in who doesn't really know what to expect. You're both seasoned veterans. You're both guys who've tasted big wins and big losses. And it's just, I mean, I can't believe, honestly, that we're going to get to see this here in Halifax. I'm going to be on vacation in Newfoundland. It pisses me off. But I'm just super excited that the local fans are going to get a chance to see this in person.
Yeah,
Rick, do you
want to
jump in? Rick, do you want to jump in? I do have a couple more questions for Chris, but
Yeah, sure. I'll be brief because I know we're tight. Chris, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. It's a pleasure to have you back on here.
I appreciate it.
You know, like, to take a fight like this, you're obviously going for it. You want to make a mark on the Canadian scene. You're going after what, the top five in the country? You want to be recognized. Is that what I'm seeing here? Because you could just take an easy fight and ride off into the sunset. You know, you're going for it. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. I mean, I think even my last fight, I lost it. But if I would have had five more days to prepare, I guarantee I would have beat that kid. And I look at that as a learning experience, but I mean, he dodged a bullet, man. I'll tell you right now, he dodged a bullet. If I would have been in the shape that I know I could be, or, you know, if we had a training camp, I definitely, things wouldn't have went down like that. So I've got a little bit of a vengeance now, I think, and that's why this fight, you know, it means a lot. We've been trying to hook this fight up, him and I, for a while. Yeah, it's awesome that it's going to happen here, and yeah, I'm just excited for it. I think, you know, you want to try to fight the toughest guys, you know, just to get back to your question, I guess. And you want to, you know, I'm not in this sport to just as a hobby, you know what I mean? Like, it's too much hard work and it's too much sacrifice to just take a fight for a few $100. Like, let's do this thing and go as far as you can, you know, beat the toughest guys we can. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you can tell stories on your deck to your grandkids and say that you never left anything, you know, no stone unturned, right?
Yeah, man, I'm loving it. I'm seeing two bucks coming, banging their heads, and that's what it's all about. And I love what you're saying, right? Just put her out there. I want to fight the best. If this guy's the best, I want to fight him, and I love it. I dig it, brother, and that's the way it should be. So, like, getting ready for this guy, and I don't know anything about him, but we got your back. You're Atlanta Canadian. We love you down here. We're supporting you. And I'm telling you another thing. You didn't lose that damn fight, man. That was your fight. Like, you don't ever say you lost that fight. Another guy's hand might have got raised, but, brother, he raised eyebrows on that. So I don't know anything about this guy. All I've heard is beast. That's all I've heard. So what did you do to prepare for this guy? What do we expect to see?
You know, I don't know. I think you'll see. I mean, I know, you know, we've both seen each other fight. He was there, and, you know, he's actually the guy that kind of got me that fight with Bellator and kind of, you know, led me down that path. So, I mean, I got all kinds of respect for Adrian. He's a tough guy. He's a grinder. He's a national level wrestler, you know, but I mean, he's been around the game for a while. You know, he's not, I don't have, you know, anything really that he hasn't seen probably before. Do you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
We're both kind of seasoned. We both kind of know what each other are going to try to do. It's just a matter of will and who can exploit the weaknesses at the time, right?
Yeah. Now, on this fight, are you prefer to stay on your feet or go to the ground or just no comment?
I never really plan one specific thing over the other. And I think that my last fight is probably one that really puts an exclamation point on that. I should have, anybody watched that fight says I probably should have stood with the guy and I probably would have finished him or come close or won that fight. So I was so headstrong on the game plan that I went in that I didn't relax enough to see what I was doing good. So I'm not going to go in with just a specific game plan. I'm going in to exploit any weakness that I see.
Good luck, brother.
Thank you.
Yeah, I remember standing there watching that fight, actually, and because it was such an exciting fight, I couldn't sit down. So I know I was standing pacing around in my kitchen watching the stream. And the one thing that I did notice was no matter where the fight went, you definitely had your moments. And it really felt like he was able to grind it a little bit harder because he'd probably put in a full camp and you hadn't. To take absolutely nothing away from Malcolm Gordon, but it just looked like he had just a smidge more in the tank that was enabling him to do a few more things. And I agreed with the decision when I saw it, but I was also phenomenally proud of your performance, knowing what a short-notice fight it was for you.
No, definitely. Yeah, you're 100% right. And I would have to say I agree with the decision, too, and he just had that little bit, that 10 or 20% extra in the gas tank to put, you know, to sway things his way for sure, yeah.
Cool.
And
well,
he's
going to
be an up-and-comer cat, man. He's a good guy, man. He's got good jiu-jitsu, good stand-up. So he's definitely someone that's an up-and-comer as well.
Well, that's you get to go back at him perhaps down the road a little bit. Like you said, you're just getting going again, so maybe that fight is there for you guys again in the future. Who knows?
Very good.
Well, that's cool, man. Well, you go and you enjoy the rest of your evening. I hope you have a little bit of relaxation planned tomorrow. Is Canada Day for our American fans? That's basically July 4th in Canada. So I'm sure a lot of your training partners and buddies will be popping a few pops tomorrow while you're probably doing some miles on the road.
Yeah, well, we got some early morning train for everybody, so that'll be exciting, and then have the day to relax and see what the night has.
Nice. Thanks so much for joining us, Chris. We'll be following as closely as we possibly can, man. Thanks for joining us again. And big shout-out to Scott and the guys over at Fifth Plus. So take a couple of minutes and give some shout-outs to those guys and your sponsors and such.
Yeah, man, gotta give a shout-out to the boys at Fifth Plus and all my training partners and family that support me, and my buddy Matt Hamilton at Massage Experts in Halifax area has been taking care of me and fixing me up, and and anybody who supports me and you guys for putting the time and the effort into, you know, put the spotlight on the local MMA scene here is greatly appreciated.
Awesome, man. It's our pleasure to do it. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Take care, Chris. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Great interview.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would never, ever take credit for improving the fighting skills of any martial artist in Atlantic Canada, but I think I can safely say at this point that the BS show has improved their media savvy.
Well, I don't even know what you're talking about.
I find the guys who are coming on now, before at the beginning of the first two or three episodes, we'd tell guys to thank their sponsors, and they sounded like they were hit by a car. And now you tell guys to thank their sponsors, and we can't get them to shut the hell up.
Well,
It's good to see.
Well, people would rather talk than listen to you babble, so I think that's what it is.
I remember you saying that from your pro wrestling days that the MMA guys just were really neglecting that part of the total package.
Well, you've got to get out there and you've got to spread your name. And we're helping these guys climb the ladder any faster than they would, but it certainly doesn't hurt to get out there and get recognized and catch the attention of promoters. So, you know, if it's helping in some way, that's great.
Well, so, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying that it was great to get Chris on there, and I see some real fire. I mean, I love what he's saying too. No more talking. If we're the best, let's get it on. So love it.
Absolutely. And the exciting thing, like I said, about a fight like this happening in Atlantic Canada is the fights that we're going to find here on a regional promotion. It's probably going to be two untested guys, or one tested guy who's having to take a fight against somebody else who's untested or just coming early into the game. But this is an opportunity for us to watch two seasoned veterans who've been there, they've done that, they've had success, they've had failure, and they're universally acknowledged in their region of the country for being one of the best 125ers. So we're supremely privileged to be able to see this at Extreme Cage Combat in July. And I believe on the line right now is Mr. Adrian Woolley. Adrian, welcome to the BS show.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you're able to join us, man. We've connected on, I guess it was Facebook or Twitter, quite a while ago when I started throwing your name around saying I would love to be able to see you fight down here. And lo and behold, you're coming to town, and I'm unfortunately going to be in Newfoundland on vacation. But
At least you're going to enjoy your vacation.
I will, and I'm sure somebody's going to have an iPhone in the air recording the fight, so I get to see it afterwards.
I'm sure someone will. Not to worry.
Well, listen, you had a bit of up and down year because you had a big fight lined up out west, and it completely fell through. Can you tell us a little bit about what went down there?
Yeah, I was supposed to fight Eric Wilson out in Grand Prairie, Alberta, for the XFFC title. At flyweight, everything was going well. Coaches came out with me. Weight was going well. day away, and 11:30 in the morning, I go down with my coach, and we're checking on the official scale versus my scale. You know, you just want to make sure. You know, obviously, most fighters are a little OCD when it comes to our weight, especially on weigh-in days, and you might want to make sure you don't have to cut more than you have to. So we go down there to check it, and there's a little conversation going back and forth between my coach and Darren Cliff, and I'm not really paying attention because I'm more focused on my weight, and I'm like, okay, well, that's pretty good. I'm pretty close. You know, I just got to do one more session, and we'll go back out. And they couldn't even tell me to my face. It was tough. They were kind of like, oh, here, I just want to show you a text, and this is my coach, not Darren. And, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And he was like, yeah, I started to regret. You know, Eric Wilson has been jumped outside his hotel. He's in the hospital and unable to compete. Therefore, you know, your fight's withdrawn and blah, blah, blah. And Darren just looked at me like, man, I am so sorry. He was super apologetic. And he's like, listen, you don't have to cut weight. And I talked to the butcher, Billy Mahood, the lead guy out there for the commission.
Yep.
He's like, yeah, I'm sorry, Adrian, your fight's canceled. And I was so, obviously on weigh-in day, you're a little lightheaded and
spacey.
Light, spacey. I called the dumbs. I had the dumbs pretty hard. And I was like, that's it. I'm like, you guys, you're weighing me in. I'm weighing in. I don't care what. If he's showing up or he's not showing up, I said, I'm weighing in. I'm cutting weight. And you're going to announce that I made 125, because there's a lot of haters out there that, he can't even make 125. So I'm like, fuck that. I'm weighing in. And they were like, okay, you don't have to, but, yeah, we'll weigh in anyway. So it was a little disappointing. And I mean, I feel horrible for Eric as well. I mean, what a way to – you know, to lose out on a fight. I mean, you're not even in the cage. You're not even on your way to the arena. You get jumped the night before. So I'm just glad it didn't go worse for him. And he, you know, it wasn't worse. And he made it home. And his wife and his kids weren't with him when that stuff went down. So, I mean, you got to look on the positive.
And hopefully he'll be able to bounce back.
Oh, 100% he will.
Well, so you actually followed up you made weight. It's funny hearing you say that, being spacey and saying, fuck it, I'm going to make weight anyway. You don't know Rick Doyle, who's my co-host on this show, but that is the exact same shit that guy would do, I guarantee you. He did that one time before, actually. A fight fell through when he was cutting weight, and he said, fuck it, I'm weighing in with you guys. And then
with
24 hours out, he picked up an opponent, and he was already halfway through a weight cut.
Well, good for him. See, there, his perseverance paid off, and there you go. So, I don't think they were going to find me someone the last minute out there, but either way, I had to let everyone know that I could make 125, and I thought, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound. I came all this way. I didn't get dressed up for nothing, so I might as well make weight.
I definitely want to talk to you about the follow-up fight that you had after the failed attempt out west. But before that, I want to ask you a little bit about the opportunity that you had to comment at the event out west. I mean, you're a well-spoken guy. You're a knowledgeable guy. How did you find that doing the color commentary at that event?
You know, I just didn't want to sound like an OHL hockey player. Not that I'm trying to bash hockey players or whatever, but I just didn't want to come off like, oh, the ice was good, and, you know, just sound repetitive. And I didn't want to bash anyone. So I thought in my mind, you know, well, compliment everyone on everything that they're doing, and which it was great. There was some great, great fights, so I was happy about that. It made my job easier. And the one thing that I wish, and now that you hear yourself after, I wish I hadn't said. I said absolutely, I think about 250 times throughout that thing, because I didn't have anything else to say, and I was just trying to be positive. And so Dean would say something, I'd be like, absolutely, absolutely. And then after, I was like, could you think of a better word, Adrian? Maybe I'd get you a thesaurus for next time, but... whatever.
At the very least, a dictionary. At the very least, they can give you a dictionary next time.
What the hell?
I'm pretty sure.
To work with.
Yeah, Mike Goldberg and Joe Rogan must have like adjective sheets sitting out on the desk. But anyway, it was great that you had that opportunity, because, like I said, you're a knowledgeable and well-spoken guy. So perhaps that's something we could see a little bit more from you down the road when you're not throwing bones at people's heads.
I'd love to. It's a hoot, and what better seat in the audience than to be right there cage side and watching it. So when the blood splatter's hitting you, it's pretty cool.
So break down the fight that you had at SCC, because when the fight with Eric Wilson didn't pan out, you what did you have, a full fight camp going into SCC in Toronto? Our good friend Mike Mallott fought on that card as well.
Oh, yeah, what a stud. Mallott's an absolute up-and-come killer, I tell you, in Canada. Yeah, it was great. Great that I got Santino to come up from the States. A Brazilian transplant now in Wichita, Kansas, originally from Black House. So that was kind of cool that he had a good record of 8-3. And I was just excited. It was in the back of my mind, I was thinking, well, this fight's going to, something's going to happen. He's not going to get a visa or he's not going to get his blood work. And so there was always something in the back of my mind thinking that this fight was going to fall through as well. So I don't know why it just seemed like, I think with the Eric Wilson, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like on weigh-in day, this fight's getting pulled. Like, I just felt like there were so many cards just stacked against me. So I was all, in the back of my head, I was always like waiting for the other shoe to drop that this fight wasn't going to happen. But thank God that it did. And yeah, I almost seemed like I was shell shocked when I went in there for the first round. I mean, I was kind of like, holy shit, this is I'm actually in here now. Oh my God, this is actually happening. So after he clipped me a couple times in the chin and woke me up and almost actually put me to sleep, I thought I'd start fighting in the second round. So it was
You pulled a Frankie Edgar from the his fight with it's escaping me now. The Bully. Oh, and your nickname is a Bully, coincidence. Yeah,
the Michigan wrestler. Yeah, Gray Maynard.
But it shows your heart. It shows your heart. It shows your composure, and it shows your training that you were able to claw back from that and then start earning points.
Yeah, either that or I'm just too stupid to realize, you know, that I should start moving right from the beginning. But yeah, no, he chin checked me pretty good, and I mean, had he jumped on it and pounced on it, I mean, he might have finished the fight. I'm glad that he didn't, and I'm glad that I capitalized, into the second and certainly into the third. But it was a good fight, and I was happy. It certainly shook off the ring rust. I mean, you can spar and train with all your guys, and I didn't think I'd ever fall victim to that because I've been sparring with all guys that are, you know, going into their UFC fights and going in for their regional fights, and I'm like, oh, there's no way I'm going to have ring rust. But you know what? It's something about that cage closing and the lights or the crowd. It's all BS. It's all just, you know, environmental things that change. But it, whatever it is, that environment, it did change for me, and I had ring rust, and I'm glad I shook it off after the first.
You know what? It's a super, super good point that we've mentioned before on the show. You can train as much martial arts, as much mixed martial arts as you want. And Rick, my co-host, and I have talked about this. You can be in as many street fights as you want. And it doesn't translate to stepping into a cage in a combat sports mode, because in a street fight, it's instantaneous and you're just reacting on impulse and there's no thought process. So you're not, nothing's going to be in your head. There's no ring rust in a bar fight. And just the same, you can't really simulate in the cage MMA fighting in the gym. Too many people will get hurt too often. So when you do get in there, it is a different experience altogether that somebody who hasn't done it can't really explain. So I don't hold anything against you for having a bit of ring rust, and I'm super happy that you were able to get through that first round and show your stuff. I'm sure it was. What I would like to do is throw you over to Rick right now, because I've had an opportunity to watch you fight a couple of times, and you have a fighting style and a tenacity that I know Rick is really, really going to enjoy, because Rick's an old school, throw him down as Rick was about, I don't know, a year and a half into his MMA training, and he kept saying, do we have to work more of that ground shit? And it was only very, very recently that he started to appreciate the grappling arts. So he's a slugging fan. So he's going to be a real big fan of what you can do in the cage, and being able to watch you and Chris in a few weeks is going to be pretty awesome. So I'm going to throw you over to him for a minute.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Great now that we had Boyd finally shut up. I don't know if you think same way I do, man, but it's just like blah, 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 blah. He goes on and on. But you know what, brother? I dig the story of Wes is crazy. I mean, that's But to see that you, you know, you stepped up, went through the weight cut, I think that translates to everybody what kind of individual we're dealing with here. I have not had the opportunity to see your fight or the pleasure to see you fight, but there is one thing that seems to be synonymous with your name, and that's Beast. I mean, that's what, you know, when they talk about you, I always hear that in the same sentence. So, I mean, is that what you bring to the cage? Like, what is your style, man? Tell the people out there.
Yeah, I think that I'm a pretty aggressive guy no matter what, and I don't know that you can have a 125-pound beast, but if there is one, I want to be the one. My style is pretty much just that, the wrestling style. I'm going forward. I don't care what you bring to the table. I know what I bring to the table, and if you can outbeat me or you can outlast me, then good on you, and you deserve the win. But I never want to give up. I don't like to lose. I don't, whether it's rock, paper, scissors, hopscotch, checkers, chess, I don't care. I don't like to lose. So, I'm going to bring it.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, so I'm going to bring it every single time.
So, I mean, we're looking at a tough component or opponent, sorry, with Kalades. You know, we just had him on the show, and he said, you know, I want to fight the best, and you're up there. Give me your motivation for taking this fight against a very tough opponent, and do you have a game plan walking into this?
Yeah, I would probably say, you know, the same thing. I want to fight the best, too. And, I mean, there's a lot of people that'll tell you out there, oh, I just want to fight the best people, and then they hide behind their record, or they go and run and hide behind a manager. Well, that's great. But unless you can talk the talk, but I'd like to see you walk the walk. And Chris is one of those guys that talks the talk, and he walks the walk. He's like, okay, well, Malcolm Gordon's number one guy, I'll fight him. Short notice, let's do it. You know, Adrian Woolley wants to sign, boom, I'm in. He's that guy as well, and I'm privileged that I get to fight, you know, not just a tough guy, but a guy that's of the same type of cloth and the same type of attitude. It's kind of like, yeah, I want to fight the best too. So that's my motivation. I mean, I don't need any more motivation than this guy wants to take my head off. You know, we might share a beer before, we might share a beer after, but in that 15 minutes, he's going to try and take my head off. If that's not motivation, I don't know what is.
I love what you're saying, and before I hand you back to Boyd, you're coming into hostile territory, man. Kalades is our boy in this neck of the woods. We got to support him. That's the way the game goes. But thank you for coming into this territory and taking that fight. We're going to cheer for him, brother, but we're glad you're at the table is what I'm saying, okay?
Hey, you got a great fighter there, and if you didn't cheer for him, I'd be disappointed. So I'm glad you're cheering for your boy. So
you know the game. You know the game. But we appreciate you coming down here. We appreciate you taking this fight, and the fans are in for a show.
Awesome.
That's fantastic. Good outro, Rick. And I'll tell you one thing. We might be booing you and cheering Chris at the beginning of the fight, but you guys win or lose, we'll be getting equal cheers at the end. That's just the way we do it down here. So we're super glad that we're going to get to see this fight. And thanks so much for joining us, man. You're an absolute gentleman in the sport, and it's just absolutely fantastic that you're bringing your skills down here and sharing with us on the East Coast.
It's going to be a pleasure for me. I love fighting out in Halifax. You know, I went out there for Sean Pearson and a couple other guys, you know, fought out there, and they had an absolute blast. And they said the crowd was awesome. The people are awesome. So, you know, the fighters are good too. I mean, you don't get any better than Fit Plus and Scott and all his killers that are underneath him. So for me, it's an absolute pleasure.
Awesome, man. And thanks for the shout out to Mr. Malott. I'm sure he'll be tweeting that all day tomorrow.
Not a problem. Watch, I'm telling you, he's going to be Canada's next big star, 145. He's a killer.
Yeah, he keeps saying it, and people keep believing it. It's going to happen. Well, thanks
Boyd,
a lot, man.
Will you shut up and let the man thank his sponsors, please?
Easy for me, man. Dr. Callum Cowan, he's the guy that gets me down to 125 pounds without losing my mind and killing everyone. So I got to thank Callum Cowan. He is the master when it comes to weight cutting and diet for me. I got Joe Arco from EPC. He's the one that's kicking my ass on a daily basis for the functionals. All my jiu-jitsu guys, you know, I got Rory McDonald kicking my ass. I got all the boys from Academics, Parabellum, Bruckman Martial Arts, obviously, Sean Pearson, Ryan Grant, all my killer training crew guys, Josh Hill, Mitch Gagnon, all my training partners. They're they're the reason I get up every day, so they can kick my ass and I can try and kick theirs. So,
good stuff, brother. Thanks so much for joining us, and we're going to be taking a little hiatus on the show over the summer, but when everything is all wrapped up and shaken out, we'd love for you to check back in with us and let us know what's next for your career.
Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate the time.
Take care, man. You have a fantastic trip down here to the East Coast.
I will. See you then. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Sorry,
that guy's just awesome, man. That guy's just awesome. I connected with him through like social media, through Facebook and Twitter and whatnot, and I could get a sense right away that he's just a stand-up dude who's in this for all the right reasons, and, man, he's a hell of a fighter, too. Him and Chris are going to put on a show.
Oh, absolutely. Skip, you in there, brother?
I'm here.
Yeah, like, I'm excited about this, and I mean, all the fans are going to love this fight. But here's the thing. You've got two gladiators that are, I mean, they're right at the top, and they're saying, okay, let's do battle. Now, here's the thing on that. If you're ranked or if you're considered one of the best in this country, okay, why would you want to fight another guy at your level? Because the money is not there. Okay, we can't afford to pay these guys what they really deserve for this fight. But this is the type of warriors and gladiators they are. They say, I want to fight the best. I'm not going to get paid what I deserve for this fight because no regional promotion can afford this. But I'm going to do it, and I'm going to take it. And thank you to those guys. That's what I say.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the boxing model, Rick, and guys are trying to like protect their records because you're not really going to get a shot in boxing unless you have like this outrageous record of like 40, 50, 60, 70 undefeated wins. So they're guys are fighting cans. That's just not possible in mixed martial arts right now. Yeah, it's just not possible in mixed martial arts. So these guys are just are stepping up and fighting each other. Like you said, right now for money that probably won't cover a half a year's training. I mean, it might cover a training camp if they're lucky, long as they can live on KD. So it's just we're super privileged to see these guys get in there and do that. Considering that it's a regional promotion and there's no real big financial payday for them, so they're doing it for some other reason. It's just awesome to see that, and it's why the fights I think on the regional cards are so damn good sometimes.
Yeah,
because guys are doing it for the right reason.
That's what I'm talking about, man. So what did you think of tonight's show there, Skip?
Great show, man. All the guests got me hyped. Definitely, Adrian was an interesting conversation, and so was Chris. And I like the fact that these guys want to go into this fight to face somebody who's willing to push them. Yeah. It seems like they both have had issues with guys not wanting to step up and test themselves. Well, these two guys sound like mirror images of each other, so you know, this could easily be a fight of the night kind of fight, you know, and they seem like neither one of them wants it to be a boring fight, so you expect fireworks. You got to love that.
Intriguing. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, I predict that regardless, this fight is going to be followed by people not just in Canada, but all across North America, possibly the world, is going to be looking at this fight. And I predict that they will both be winners in some way after this is all said and done.
Yeah, Rick, both those guys are like 31, 32 years old. And you and I talked about this before, about how we got into MMA and had our little adventure when we were in our early 40s. And I think it was Sebastian O'Malley who said, one thing that he always picked out from my training and your training was, we could never quit. We could never quit because if we quit now, it's over. It's done. There'll never be another shot. And in the small way that we did it, they're in the same position in their career. You know what I mean? Like, they fought in their 20s. They're now in their early 30s. They've risen to a particular level in the sport. This is their shot. And they're two guys who are really level-headed and really mature and really going after it because they know this is the shot where they could go all the way to the big time. And
yeah,
that
and
is super, super exciting to see the beginnings of that happen right here.
Yeah, and there's no magic number you know, of what that number is, because it's going to be different for everybody. It might be 25 be your peak. It might be 32. It might even be 40. You know, it depends with every person. But it looks to me that these two right now are at that pinnacle, and they're ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And this is not even the main fight on the card. Can you believe that?
Well, I think it is.
I think it's going to be the closer watched fight. I think I agree with you that nationally and internationally it might be the closer watched fight. But with almost as much hype, we're going to have on the show next week Michael Spenline and Lyndon Whitlock. I think we're going to try to squeeze in one or maybe two more fighters, possibly a couple of amateurs, so we can get a couple of these guys who don't normally get the opportunity to get their name out there on the show as well. So definitely going to try to do that next week. And then, unfortunately, like I said, I'm going to be away for a few weeks, so perhaps be on hiatus for the summer.
Well, I'll tell you what, it would be nice, you know, even if we get as many guys on the show, just to say hi and thank their sponsor in and out. I'd like to do something like that. Profile as many folks as we can, because
their sponsors are
important. So if they can get a chance to get out, get a little word out, I think that's worth its weight in gold. So.
Well, if you're talking to Papa Martel over the next few days or running to Gavin, try to get a list of names, and we'll reach out to guys and see who we can get on the show next week, because I agree with you.
Yeah, and vice versa. If there's anybody fighting that would like to get on the show to thank some sponsors very quickly, we'll try to just contact Boyd, and we'll try
there to... There you go. Anybody who's fighting on the ECC 21 coming up in July, pop over to the BS Show Canada Facebook page. Obviously, check out our sponsors and drop us a comment there on the Facebook page, so we know to reach out and get in touch with you. And
if you're
listening and you know somebody's fighting, even, or if there's somebody you know is fighting on the card and you'd like to hear from them, get over to the Facebook page and leave us a comment, and we'll track them down for you.
Did you see that, Skip? Now you know who the brains of the operation is. He had this big plan, and then I told him the right way to do it.
I like it. Well, you were a tad bit sociably late for the show, so you might have missed that Boyd is suffering from a pre-existing condition called anal glaucoma. He really didn't see his ass working tonight, but we got him here, and, you know, so he's done a great job.
It was a beautiful sunny day here, like 30 degrees Celsius, and I don't know what nerds do on days like this, but I spent most of it at the beach, man. Sun's out, the guns were out. I love this. But anyway, I got to get out of here because I need some bed tonight. And so why don't you sign us out there, Boyd?
Well, before we dive in, I got one more just a quick little tidbit. I do want to, because it's one of our last shows before the summer break, I want to give a super big shout-out to our sponsors, Acadian Fish and Chips, Agro Photography, Draco Impact Sports, obviously, Farm Box Films, Repo Sales, Mr. Jack Cameron, Hemmings House Pictures, and Wilson's Titanium, because without those guys, we would not be able to do this. We wouldn't be able to shine a light on these awesome athletes that are going to be entertaining us later in July. And that's enough BS for one night.
And everybody listen to my favorite song, Wear Sunscreen. Skip, now is when you hit the music.
Welcome to the BS Show.
Production,
are you ready to shoot the... The BS Show would like to thank their sponsors. Jack Cameron, accredited mortgage professional. Jack can show you the way home. Draco Impact Sports, providing top quality combat sport equipment, tested and used by all levels of athletes. Dominate your world. Reposales.ca, specializing in vehicle and equipment recovery, liquidation, and sales. Hemmings House Pictures, the global movement media makers. Helping tell your brand story to the world and accelerate the momentum of your movement. Farm Box Films, capturing stories the way you want to remember them.